You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, the 26th of February. Yes, we do have a little snowfall, so be careful out there this morning if you're heading into work on your drive-in. Just take a little extra time, and everyone will be just fine. It is our great pleasure to welcome Dr. Jeff Guskey to the program. Dr. Guskey is an interesting gentleman. He is an ER physician and a photographer and a National Geographic explorer, and his work is on the display at the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. this month. Dr. Guskey, thank you for being with us and spending a couple of minutes with us today. This is a fascinating story, the Black Devils, and you're literally getting stuck in the mud and finding this is also as interesting as well. Before we get into the Black Devils, tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you end up, becoming a doctor and then a National Geographic explorer?
It's really the same thing. I'm on a journey to find hidden stories that help us stay safe, and this is one of them. So I was photographing the Western Front in France intensely since 2011, and I found a hidden world of World War I, modern underground cities beneath the former trenches where tens of thousands of soldiers lived throughout the war on both sides, and no one knew it was there. It turns out that one of these places was the only trace of a Black combat unit. And it's a story. You're from Illinois.
Absolutely.
It's a totally Land of Lincoln story. I mean, you won't believe it.
All right, let's start with the car getting stuck in the mud, and then you find the inscription and walk us through this process because it is infinitely interesting.
So I was on assignment for the New York Times photographing a cover story for the Sunday travel section a number of years ago. And I get stuck in the mud with a four-wheel drive, photographing the place where the Sergeant York drama played out. And long story short, I get taken to a place on the other side of this village, which was an abbey where American soldiers were once housed. And there was an inscription in the attic, and so about a week later, I determined through a friend helped me realize that this was an African-American unit that had been at this place. But they were not combat soldiers. They were laborers. But I was on this quest to figure out what the significance of that was and started making contacts and connected to the author of a book on African-American soldiers in Washington, D.C., who happened to be the head of the American Battle Monument Commission. It's always how it works, these coincidences. So I emailed this friend of mine in France that helped me make this discovery that I was in contact with this guy, and he said, "Oh, Jeff, one of the places we've been photographing, I think, may have been the site of a Black combat unit." And oh my God, it turns out that within, like an hour, all this whole story just falls out of the sky. And it turns out that we had discovered the only trace of a Black unit. So I get a meeting with the chief curator of the Smithsonian African American Museum before they opened the doors of the new museum. And they weren't taking meetings, but it was like an emergency meeting because here I had just stumbled onto the very story they were working on that would become this exhibit that's up right now. By the way, I'm very honored to say they took out Oprah's exhibit and put this exhibit in, and they did a beautiful job on it. So halfway through the meeting, Dr. Rex Ellis tells me, "Jeff, you have stumbled onto I Have a Dream before I Have a Dream." And then he says it again. And that sounds grandiose, but coming from him, it is a big deal.
All right. Tell me what you know about and what you have learned about the 8th Illinois, and not only the only one in World War I, but the only all-Black combat unit, and
how it goes
back to Lincoln.
Yeah. Okay. So the Black Devils came from a community of American visionaries, not victims. Just after the Civil War, returning African-American Union soldiers from the land of Lincoln would become the standard bearers and the living embodiment of Abraham Lincoln's vision of freedom for all of us. They formed this all-volunteer, all-black militia of American patriots, which was the epicenter of a community of freedom, men, women, families, generation upon generation, that lived the dream that Martin Luther King would so beautifully articulate many decades later. And so the Black Devils reconnect us to the moral moment of the Civil War, you know, this great rebirth of America that was just the beginning of this difficult journey we're still on today to rehumanize America. And, you know, several hundred thousand patriotic Americans died to end slavery, but we got stuck along the way. So this secret hidden for 100 years, this unknown birth of modern civil rights helps us get unstuck, and it gives us a second chance to get race right in America.
Tell me about Stowers and Holmes.
Okay, that's a different story. The epicenter of the dream that begins in Illinois and is 50 years old by the time of World War I. And by the way, I want to say that just to be very, very clear, the importance of this discovery was it's almost mystical, because if you have to have one trace that survives 100 years, why would it be this unit, you know, the only all-African-American unit? And, you know, in 101 years ago, that unit was already 49 years in existence. So what it tells us is this unknown story of African-American political power in Illinois and self-determination. And so that's why they're living the dream. This is not, imaginary. They actually, decades before World War I, they were the first African-American unit to fight outside of the country in the Spanish-American War. And there are many, many firsts. There's a photograph of them from 1916, this Illinois unit on horseback fighting Pancho Villa on the Texas border. You know, there's just so many firsts, you can't believe it. But the connection is that, you know, they succeed in every area of modern life, including media. And an African-American media empire is built in Chicago. And it spreads this dream, this noble vision of America, across the entire country, even to the poorest of the poor. And that's where this other story, which is featured in the exhibit, of a unit of cotton pickers comes in. So even the poorest of the poor of African Americans by World War I are stakeholders. And so it turns out that I stumbled on to the only example in American history since 1776, when two black heroes both die in the same battle, both nominated for the Medal of Honor, and it was covered up. And what's even more amazing is that in fact, another Illinois story, Senator Carol Moseley Braun from Illinois had a World War I connection. Her grandfather fought in World War I, and she was involved with the World War I Centennial Commission. So a little over a year ago, I took her over to France to see the sites of important African-American battles. And I took her, on the plane on the way over, I figured out where these two heroes died. It's in the middle of nowhere in a farm field. And about a kilometer from where they died, on a muddy hilltop in the middle of nowhere, is a monument that sits in the mud unmarked today, right now, as we speak. It was created from the voluntary contributions, a dollar a man, by these cotton pickers. And on that monument are the names of the two African-American Medal of Honor nominees.
Absolutely amazing.
And they did something else, which is in the Smithsonian show. So, and I didn't realize this. In fact, no one knew about it until I found a 1928 book on the shelves of a library that had just been sitting. No one had checked it out for a long time. And it was written by a white captain in this unit of South Carolina cotton pickers. And they also contributed 75 cents a man to a medallion made in 1918. There were about 2,000 of them made. And they're very rare. I found five of them. And this medallion tells us how they saw themselves as men and Americans. And that's the key to this story. It's about the inner freedom that Martin Luther King would talk about in his I Have a Dream speech at the end of the speech. You know, he quotes the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. They knew inner freedom that no one can take away. They knew dignity. They had a sense of themselves, a clarity about what it meant to be an American. And so on this medallion, in the middle, you see a man and a woman hunched over in the hot South Carolina sun picking cotton. So it's about family and about what they left behind. And next to them, the palmetto tree, which is a symbol of South Carolina, and a sharecropper's cabin. And then in a much larger scale at the top of the medallion is a proud, forward-leaning African-American soldier in uniform leading a bayonet charge. That is the future. And the words in Latin underneath, how sweet and noble it is to die for our country.
Powerful
That's
stuff.
That's how they saw themselves.
Dr. Yeah. Jeff Guskey, doctor, artist, explorer. You can go to jeffguskey.com and check out the rest of the story. Thank you so much for sharing that information with us today, and best of luck to you. It's an amazing story, and it goes all the way back here to Illinois and to Lincoln, and the first and only all African-American.
Yeah, I was just reading about it as he was talking. It's some of that stuff is just unbelievable, and the circumstances that he stumbled on the story is pretty wild.
Explorers are important. People that have inquisitive natures, mm-hmm. people that are curious, they want to like pull the thread and unravel and look behind. He is a great storyteller, great artist. Some of the stuff you can go to his website and see the mm-hmm. portfolios. But the idea that's still on display at the Smithsonian, by the way.
Yeah, it's awesome. That monument he talked about is really interesting because the way I read about it is it's kind of just this thing sitting out in a field in France that means, you know, probably very little to most people, but it's like so significant because it was, you know, they're all 3,000 of them contributing to
their own money to do that.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, so it's this really huge thing, and it's also a nothing.
Yeah. Well, but it is. And the whole debate about these guys getting their Medal of Honor and how, you know, at the time, a general pushed it aside because it would, you know, basically take the Jim Crow myth and blow it apart. And there was so much entrenched sort of racism. The one guy sailed through, by the way, in 1990. So his family received that. The other guy's still waiting his family for that Medal of Honor. There were two out of this one unit, you know, nominated for a Medal of Honor.
Oh, wow.
Pretty amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. You can go to jeffguskey.com. It's G-U-S-K-Y if you wanted to check it out on your own. Very, very interesting.